Hi everyone, and welcome to the 2022 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. We will get started in just a moment. While we wait for everyone to join, just a couple of reminders. We'll be using the Zoom Q&A feature throughout today's call, so you don't have to hold your questions until the end. You can ask questions throughout today's presentation by selecting the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen to type your question. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear for you to type your questions. Please remember that all participants will be able to view all of the questions during the duration of the webinar. If you have a question during today's call that you don't want to be viewed by other participants, you're welcome to submit that to the help desk at www.leapfroghelpdesk.zendesk.com. I will check that URL. But thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll get started in just a few minutes. If you're just joining us, welcome to the 2022 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. We will be using the Zoom Q&A feature throughout today's presentation. Please select the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen to type your question. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear for you to type your question. As a reminder, all participants will be able to view all questions throughout the webinar today. I'm going to wait for a few more people to join. I can see we have lots of people trying to get on right now, and we'll get started in just a minute. Thank you again for joining us today. Hello everyone, welcome to the second of our 2022 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Calls. My name is Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings at the Leapfrog Group. Before we get started, I just wanted to go over a couple of housekeeping items. First, we'll be using the Zoom Q&A feature throughout today's presentation. This means that you don't have to hold your questions to the end. You can ask your questions using the Zoom Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen throughout the entirety of today's webinar. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear for you to type in your questions. All participants will be able to view the questions throughout the webinar. Your questions will be answered by a help desk coordinator in real time. Please pay close attention as some questions may be answered live. As an important note, please reserve the Zoom chat feature to report technical issues only. So if you look at your toolbar, you're going to use the chat feature if you're having problems with your audio or visual. Please use the Q&A for all questions about today's presentation. So now let's go ahead and get started. I want to start with an overview of the survey, then I'm going to go over some important updates for this year. I'm going to talk about the survey results and give some reminders. So first, let's start with a survey overview. Leapfrog has a robust annual survey process to make sure that the survey is ready to go by April 1st of each year. That means that we have to start this process in August and September of every year. Our survey team and our expert panelists meet to set goals, review the latest measures, review any changes to measures that have an NQF endorsement status, consider member and hospital recommendations from the previous year, and prepare to publish proposed changes in November. In November of each year, we do a 30-day public comment period where hospitals and other stakeholders can view the extensive proposed changes that we've published and provide comments and feedback. This year, we received over 150 comments, so thank you all of you that participated in that public comment period. Once we have met with our experts, drafted our proposed changes, issued those for public comment, collected those comments, we do a pilot test in the month of January with about 30 different hospitals and health systems nationwide. Participants receive a hard copy of the survey and track changes, as well as a copy of our scoring algorithms. They're not asked to provide responses to the new questions. They're actually asked to review new questions, measure specifications, FAQs, and other instructions, as well as the scoring algorithms to provide us with feedback on where something may need to be clarified, updated, or revised. In February and March, we program our online survey tool, and at this point, we've taken into consideration both the public comments we've received and all of the valuable feedback we received during the national pilot. In March, we publish a summary of changes document, and on April 1st, the survey launches. The goals for our survey have been consistent for the past several years. We're always looking to expand the survey to more hospitals by including measures that are relevant to rural and urban hospitals, as well as pediatric hospitals. We're also focused on keeping the reporting burden as low as possible by continuing to align with other national performance measurement initiatives, such as NHSN, CMS, the Joint Commission, and other national registries, such as SCS and the Vermont Oxford Network. We want to include cutting-edge measures that improve the safety, quality, and efficiency of care delivery, and that might not be collected and publicly reported by anyone else, but meet the specific needs of our consumers and purchasers that we work with. We strive to maintain a consistent measurement structure so hospitals can use survey results for benchmarking and improvement purposes over time. And you'll see if you look in the scoring algorithms for this year, we've maintained many of those scoring cut points, so you'll be able to do benchmarking using 2021 survey results. And finally, we work to ensure that the survey results are actually put into use by employers, purchasers, payers, in both accountability programs, including public reporting and value-based purchasing. The 2022 survey includes 10 survey sections. Each of the sections is organized in the same format, and both the hard copy of the survey, which we make available in a Microsoft Word document, as well as a PDF. The format in the hard copy of the survey and the online survey tool itself matches unless otherwise noted. Each section of the survey includes general information where we describe the standard, reporting periods that need to be used before doing data collection and reporting for each set of questions. The survey questions themselves, which may include references to endnotes, and please note that the survey questions and the endnotes match the online survey tool exactly. Next is the affirmation of accuracy. So every single section of the survey is followed by an affirmation of accuracy that either your hospital's CEO or chief executive or an individual that's been designated by that hospital's chief executive must complete before that section of the survey can be submitted. The affirmation verify that the information you are trying to submit to LeapFrog is accurate based on the reporting periods, measure specifications, and endnotes that we make available. And then finally, one of the most important things we include in the hard copy of the survey is the reference information. This includes a description of what's new this year, change summaries in case we have to make any updates after April 1st, important measure specifications that you need in order to answer the questions accurately, answers to frequently asked questions, and other notes that should be carefully reviewed before providing any responses to the survey questions themselves. The sections of the survey this year include basic hospital information, CPOE, adult and pediatric complex surgery, maternity care, ICU physician staffing, patient safety practices, managing serious errors, medication safety, pediatric care, and outpatient procedures. Before you're able to access any of these sections in the online survey tool, you will need to complete the profile section of the online survey tool, which includes information about your hospital's demographics, as well as an opportunity for you to provide up-to-date contact information. Now I wanted to review the submission guidelines for this year's survey. So first, Section 1, Basic Hospital Information, as well as Section 2, CPOE, Section 4, Maternity Care, Section 5, ICU Physician Staffing, and Section 6, Patient Safety Practices, are required to submit a survey via the online survey tool. That means before that submit button will activate on the online survey tool, these sections, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6, must be completed and affirmed. However, hospitals are strongly urged to submit all sections of the survey. You can indicate within a section if the measure doesn't apply to you, but you are encouraged not to skip sections. So for example, if you're a freestanding pediatric facility, you don't do perform newborn deliveries, you're not going to skip Section 4. You're going to click into Section 4 and let LeapFrog know that you don't deliver newborns. The CPOE tool is included in Section 2 of the survey for adult and general hospitals this year, and will be accessible from the survey dashboard once the hospital has completed and affirmed Section 2. So what does that mean? It means that as soon as you complete and affirm Section 2, you're going to be able to access the CPOE evaluation tool and take your CPOE test. But you won't be able to submit the survey until you've come back in and completed all of those required sections 1, 4, 5, and 6. So what we're urging all hospitals to do is submit all applicable sections of the survey and not just meet those minimum requirements. June 30th will be the submission deadline this year. Hospitals that submit a survey by June 30th will have their survey results publicly reported on July 25th. After July, survey results are updated on the fifth business day of the month to reflect surveys submitted for the first time or resubmitted by the end of the previous month. That means if you miss the June 30th deadline and submit your survey in July, your survey results will be publicly reported within the first 5 days of August. Hospitals that don't submit a survey by June 30th are initially publicly reported as declined to respond until that survey has been submitted. If you submit a survey by June 30th, you're going to be able to view your survey results on a confidential hospital details page on July 12th, so just about 2 full weeks prior to when those results will be publicly reported. We only offer this early opportunity to view survey results for hospitals who submit their survey by June 30th. Otherwise, both the hospital details page and the public reporting site are going to be updated on the same day after July. The hospital detail page is extremely important that you take a look at because it includes your NHSN data for all 5 HAI measures. It includes your Vermont Oxford Network data for the death or morbidity measure if you chose to report on that measure because you perform high-risk deliveries. And it's also going to include this year your CMS outpatient data for OP31, which is the visual function survey following cataract procedures, and OP32, which is hospital visits following outpatient colonoscopies. So all of your survey results, like I said, are going to be publicly reported on July 25th, but beginning July 12th, you'll be able to preview that information if you meet that June 30th deadline, as well as some intermediate information that we don't publicly report. Okay. Some additional important deadlines. August 31st is the top hospital deadline. This is a firm deadline. There are no exceptions. Every year we receive many questions from hospitals that submit a survey on September 1st if they will be eligible for top hospital. And the answer is no. August 31st is a firm deadline for top hospital. In addition, if you want to be eligible for top hospital, you don't just have to meet that August 31st submission deadline. you have to submit all applicable survey sections. So if top hospital is a goal for your hospital, please make sure you don't submit any survey sections. We would also encourage you not to wait till August 31st. It's really best to meet the June 30th deadline so you can be included in LeapFrog's first data verification review. It gives both you and LeapFrog an opportunity to identify any potential data entry and data reporting errors. We'll email you, and you have an opportunity to make those updates and resubmit prior to August 31st. By meeting that early deadline, you can actually ensure that your data has been finalized and is ready to be used for top hospitals. In addition, August 31st is the data snapshot date for the safety grade. This is the date that LeapFrog obtains the public data that it will use to calculate the fall 2022 hospital safety grade. Again, survey results must be finalized by this date, so it's best not to wait and submit your survey for the first time on August 31st. It's best to give LeapFrog and yourself that opportunity to do that data review, have a chance to see your survey results published in July. Maybe you expected to achieve the standard. You see that you only received considerable achievement. You can go back in, oh wait, we forgot to check a box for one of the safe practices. Make that update, reaffirm or resubmit so that your data again is finalized by August 31st so it can be used in these important programs. The late submission and performance update deadline will be November 30th as it's been in the past several years. This is the date that we will close the survey to new submissions and any resubmissions that reflect updates to performance. So what that means is that if suddenly something changes in your hospital, maybe your CPOE utilization rate has increased, all of those updates must be submitted by November 30th. If you submit performance updates after that date, they will not be used in scoring and public reporting. In addition, the CPOE evaluation tool is going to go offline at midnight on November 30th. So those CPOE tests and anyone who is trying to retest after 120 days, the last date to do that is November 30th. On December 1st, the CPOE tool won't even be online and no one will be able to access it, including LeapFrog. Only hospitals that submit a survey by November 30th will be able to log on to the online survey tool to make data entry corrections. These are data entry errors. Maybe you meant to enter 500 and you entered 5,000. Or reporting corrections. These are specifically in response to LeapFrog's extensive monthly data review to previously submitted sections of the survey during the months of December and January. If you have submitted your survey by November 30th, you can use December and January to make those data entry corrections and the reporting corrections before the survey goes offline for good on January 31st. If you have any questions about any of these deadlines, please go ahead and enter your question into the Q&A or contact our help desk. All of these deadlines are available on LeapFrog's webpage, including some additional information about deadlines to join LeapFrog's NHSN group. I want to remind everyone that LeapFrog has lots of different protocols in place to ensure the accuracy of these survey responses that you all are submitting to us via the online survey tool. And that includes those affirmations of accuracy. And as a reminder, an affirmation needs to be completed for each of the individual 10 sections before that section can be submitted. We also include some electronic warnings in the online survey tool. So you might notice that after you affirm sections, you actually have to check for data warnings before you can actually submit. The data warnings give you an early opportunity to identify data entry errors. We do an extensive monthly data verification, and if we find something that we believe is inaccurate or potentially inaccurate, we will email your primary survey contact, your secondary survey contact, as well as the system contact if you've entered one, and ask you to review the information and either confirm that it's accurate, make an update, and in some cases, you're required to contact the help desk. Because these extensive monthly data verifications go out every month beginning in July, it is vitally important that you keep your contact information up to date in the profile section of the online survey tool. So if you have a primary or secondary or a system contact that's going out on long-term leave, maybe they're having a baby, maybe they're going on vacation, please make sure that you keep that contact information updated so you don't miss these expensive monthly data verification emails. Many of you know we also do random monthly documentation requirements. Many of the questions on LeapFrog's hospital survey can be verified by having hospitals submit documentation to us. On a monthly basis, we randomly select hospitals and measures and ask you to verify those responses. And then finally, we are continuing virtual on-site data verification this year. This has been in place for the last couple years due to COVID-19. Hospitals selected for virtual on-site data verification will be contacted by me personally prior to June 1st. Please keep in mind that we have detailed descriptions of all of these data verification protocols on our website. So if you have any questions, again, you can take a look on our website or enter them into the Q&A. Now I want to move on and talk about some notes on changes made in 2020 and 2021 due to COVID-19 and how we're going to deal with some of those things this year. So first, there's a couple things we're continuing. We are continuing, as I mentioned, virtual on-site data verification this year. We did this in 2021. It actually worked out really well. It allows us to do a very robust verification for hospitals that would be otherwise very difficult to do on-site visits to, such as hospitals in Alaska and Hawaii, and certain rural parts of the country. So we are going to continue that this year, and again, you'll be notified by June 1st if you're selected. However, we do plan to resume on-site data verification in 2023. We find on-site data verification extremely valuable to verify certain measures, and we have plans to actually update those on-site protocols, keeping COVID-19 in mind, but restarting that next year. Another thing we're continuing, we actually started this in 2020, we continued it in 2021, and we decided we're actually going to make it a permanent change, and that's the reduction of the sample size requirements for some of the measures from the survey that require manual chart abstraction. So in previous years, we required hospitals to manually sample 30 cases if they were not reporting on all cases. I'm sorry, we required hospitals to report on 60 cases if they weren't reporting on all cases. But then in 2020 and in 2021, we lowered the sample size to 30. Our technical experts are actually satisfied with the reliability of a 30-case sample. They've noted that CMS allows for a 25-case sample for many of its measures. And so we're going to go ahead and maintain this 30-case sample this year and moving forward. So if you have to do manual chart abstraction for early elective deliveries, cesarean births, bilirubin screening, DVT prophylaxis, or medication safety for outpatient procedures, you're only going to have to sample 30 cases this year and moving forward. However, we are discontinuing some of those changes we made in 2020 and 2021 due to COVID. The first thing we're discontinuing is that submission deadline. Last year, we extended it to July 31st. We are going back to June 30th this year, as I've described, and those survey results will be publicly reported by July 25th. That late submission and performance update deadline will continue to be November 30th. We are discontinuing some of the reporting period changes that we made both in 2020 and 2021. First, for Section 3, complex surgery, Section 4, maternity care, Section 10C, volume of outpatient procedures. In 2021, due to known disruptions in services, we allowed hospitals to report using either 2020 or 2019 data. This year, we're going back to our historic reporting periods, and hospitals will be reporting on 2021 data, so the previous calendar year. All of this is outlined in the hard copy of the survey. If you have any questions, like I said, as I go through these changes, please go ahead and enter them into the Q&A. I do want to make a note about the reporting periods change, though, as it relates to Section 3, complex surgeries. We have heard from hospitals that they had some disruptions to those complex surgeries in 2021. And therefore, we are going to add a note to our public reporting results just for those complex surgeries beginning in July to indicate that the volumes reported may not reflect normal operations due to disruptions in services in calendar year 2021. So we are going to go ahead and add that note for the complex surgery just based on some feedback that we got from hospitals. So you'll see that when the public reported results go live on July 25th. We're also making some changes to the reporting periods, however, for the safe practices. So first, for safe practices, one, leadership structures and systems, and nine, nursing workforce. We had previously allowed hospitals to report on safe practice elements that were implemented within the last 24 months. So again, safe practice one and safe practice nine. We're allowing hospitals to report on practice elements that were implemented in the last 24 months. This year, we're going back to our 12-month reporting period. And so you will report on practices implemented within the latest 12 months prior to survey submission. So if you submit your survey in June, you'll be reporting on practices implemented in the latest 12 months prior to June 2022. For safe practice two, which is the culture of safety measurement, last year we allowed hospitals to report on culture of safety surveys administered within the last 36 months. And then additional safe practice elements that were implemented in the last 24 months. Again, this year we're going back to those historic reporting periods, and you're going to report on culture of safety surveys administered within the last 24 months and additional safe practice elements that were implemented within the last 12 months. And then finally, for those healthcare-associated infections, last year we aligned with CMS and we excluded the first two quarters of 2020. And so we were using four quarters to calculate standardized infection ratios, but they were four quarters that weren't continuous, so there was sort of this big gap. So we could exclude those 2020 data. This year, we're going to go back to reporting on 12 continuous months. And so for the June and August data downloads, we're going to get all four quarters of 2021. So again, for the June and August data downloads, we're going to get the first two, all four quarters of 2021. For the last two data downloads that we do, so for October and December, we are going to get the last two quarters of 2021 and the first two quarters of 2022. All of these NHSN data download dates are published on our website, so take a look. If you don't know where to find it, put a question in the Q&A box and we can send you the link. It is very important that you are aware of the join-by dates so you don't miss them and can have your data finalized, but also the download dates. We ask hospitals to download their NHSN data on the same day that LeapFrog downloads the NHSN data so we can make sure that everything matches. And so we want to make sure that you're aware of the reporting periods for both the first two data downloads and the second two. This means that hospitals that are eligible for a fall 2022 safety grade will be using those first two data downloads. And so it'll be calendar year 2021 as the reporting period. Next, we are discontinuing the two options that we were giving adult and general hospitals for scoring for CPOE. So last year, hospitals could achieve LeapFrog CPOE standards using either their implementation status only, and that's the percentage of inpatient orders entered through the CPOE system, or implementation status plus the results from the adult inpatient test in the CPOE evaluation tool. This year, we're reverting back to our historical standards. And so all adult and general hospitals will be scored on both implementation status and results from the adult inpatient test in the CPOE evaluation tool. There is no longer any option to be scored on implementation status only. If you have questions about taking your CPOE test, the timing of that CPOE test, concerns about not having time to take the CPOE test, this is a good time to ask it, so go ahead and use that Q&A and ask those questions. So There are no changes to the CPOE scoring algorithm for pediatric hospitals because there's not a pediatric version of the CPOE test. Pediatric hospitals will continue to be scored on implementation status only. Okay, so those were some of the updates related to those unique changes we had made to 20 and 2021 surveys due to COVID-19. Now I want to review some of the key updates to specific sections of the survey that we put into place this year. So first, let's start with section one. Section one is basic hospital information, and there's three specific things that I want to make sure we cover today. Scoring and public reporting for billing ethics, updates to health equity questions, and optional questions on informed consent. And I'm actually just going to take a look at the Q&A. There's no questions. Okay. So here we go, section one, billing ethics. LeapFrog is removing the price transparency, network matching, and out-of-network services domains from billing ethics since new legislation and federal rulemaking has set legal standards that supersede LeapFrog standards. So last year, if you submitted a survey, you saw lots of questions on price transparency, network matching, and out-of-network services. You won't see those this year. What you will see, however, are three questions focused on billing practices. We're asking whether or not your hospital has a bill that includes certain information, if you make a representative available that can help negotiate the bill, investigate mistakes, set up a payment plan, and also whether or not you are suing patients. One thing to remember is that patients with whom your hospital has entered into a written agreement specifying a set price, not a range or estimate, for a medical service are not included when you answer the question about whether or not you take legal action against patients. So we do have that exception for patients with whom you've entered into a written agreement. To achieve the standard, and again, this will be scored and publicly reported beginning July 25th, the hospital must provide every patient with a billing statement or master itemized bill within 30 days of the final claims adjudication that includes all of the 10 requirements that we outlined in the first question. The hospital also has to give instructions to patients for contacting a billing representative who has the authority to do all of the three things we ask about in question two within 5 business days. Then finally, the hospital cannot take legal action against patients for later insufficient payment of a medical bill, again, with the exception of patients who have entered into a written agreement for a set price for a particular medical service. Next in section one, some changes related to the health equity questions. We included these questions on the survey last year as optional. This year, they're required. They're not going to be scored or publicly reported, but you can't skip them. LeapFrog has a number of different initiatives in place currently to specifically address health equity, and we want to make sure we are getting information on specific actions hospitals are taking regarding the collection of patient self-identified demographic data, including race, ethnicity, primary language, sexual orientation, and gender identity. These are areas where there are known and widely published patient disparities, healthcare disparities, and also the use of that data. So again, not going to be scored, not going to be publicly reported, but you can't skip them. For any of you on the call today that are participating in LeapFrog's monthly users group, we will be doing a special session focused on health equity as part of that series. Next, I want to talk about informed consent. We added a new set of questions this year, and these are optional, so you can skip them in section one. This new evidence-based standard assesses a hospital's informed consent forms and also your informed consent process. It's made up of three domains, internal training and education, the content of your informed consent forms, and your process for gaining informed consent. We received really valuable public comments in November and December, and very valuable feedback during our national pilot in January. We made lots of updates to the proposed questions, and we are really excited to see how those responses look this year. One thing to remember about these fact-finding questions this year, they're optional, so you can skip them, but you can still take a look, and if you have recommendations, feedback, questions, contact the help desk and give us that information. You don't have to respond to the questions, still provide feedback on the questions to our help desk. Next, I want to talk about some specific questions in Section 2 CPOE. So first, as I mentioned, there's only one option for scoring for adult and general hospitals this year, and it includes both implementation status, which looks at the percentage of inpatient orders entered through your CPOE system, and your score from the adult inpatient test that you take via LeapFrog CPOE evaluation tool. And looking at this chart, you can see that there's a couple different options to, or a couple different paths to achieve the standard. So hospitals entering 85% or greater, or 75 to 84% of all inpatient medication orders through that CPOE system, and also getting a score of full demonstration on the CPOE test, can achieve the standard. If you have high implementation, but receive a lower test score, you can achieve considerable achievement. And you'll see there are several other options of combining implementation status and the score from the CPOE test to earn partial credit. If you do not take the test this year, the highest score you can achieve on the CPOE standard is limited achievement. So again, if you have questions or concerns about the timing of when you're able to take that CPOE test, please do enter those questions into the Q&A today. You're going to be able to get to the test as soon as you complete and affirm Section 2, but please don't come back. Don't forget to come back to complete, affirm, and submit the other sections, or we'll never get that CPOE test information. We had originally announced moving to a new CPOE tool platform, but we have decided to postpone it, given that we are making the CPOE test a requirement this year. For all general and adult hospitals, we thought it would be best to actually keep the platform consistent as it's been in previous years, so you're not trying to do a bunch of things at once. So we delayed the new platform, and so you will see the tests that you've always seen in previous years this year, with one exception. We had some questions on your EHR application and the CPOE tool in previous years. Those have been moved to Section 2B of the online survey tool, and so you will need to answer those questions before you can take the test. It includes questions about your vendor product, your formulary, and some scores on a CMS interoperability program. Next is Section 3, inpatient surgery. We have some new questions that will be used in scoring and public reporting related to the use of a safe surgery checklist for adult and pediatric complex procedures. Just to give you a little background on this, for the past several years, we've asked about the use of a safe surgery checklist for outpatient procedures. We've been asking the same questions for both hospitals who perform outpatient procedures as well as ambulatory surgery centers through LeapFrog's new ASC survey. We've gotten some pretty important feedback from our national expert panel that we should extend those questions to inpatient surgery and not only focus on outpatient surgery. So we're doing that this year. We're asking about the use of a safe surgery checklist on all patients undergoing the procedures in Section 3. We're asking if the checklist includes all of the elements that we include in questions 3, 4, and 5 of that section, and whether or not all of the elements are verbalized in the presence of the appropriate personnel. We're also asking hospitals to complete an audit of at least 15 patients, document adherence to the checklist. So it's one thing to say, yes, we have a checklist. It's another thing to say we use it on all patients. We also want to make sure that it's being implemented appropriately, and we're asking you to do that through a random audit of 15 patients. And then finally, you need to document that the checklist was adhered to at least 90% of the patients included in the audit. We originally proposed to have that be 100% to achieve the standard. got some good feedback during our national pilot. That's why it's so important that we hold that pilot each year, because it really helps to inform a lot of the things that we end up putting out on April 1st. And we have decided, again, based on feedback, that the threshold for performance will be 90% of patients included in the audit instead of 100%. Lots of opportunities to earn partial credit. If you have any questions about these new questions or how to perform the audit or the timing of the audit, or you're a low-volume hospital, go ahead and ask those questions now in the Q&A or contact our help desk. Section 4, maternity care. Since last year, we've had a great relationship with the Vermont Oxford Network. And for hospitals that perform high-risk newborn deliveries and choose to report on the VON death or morbidity measure, we've been able to get those data directly from VON. So one less thing you have to worry about collecting on your own. In order to do this, however, you have to enter your VON transfer code in the profile section of the survey. If you did this last year, it will be pre-populated when you log into the profile this year. If you didn't do it last year, you are able to enter it into the profile section of the survey this year. If you need to update your VON transfer code, you can also do that in the profile section of the survey this year. We will obtain data directly from VON for the death and morbidity outcome measure for hospitals who have done these four things. Provided that accurate transfer code in the profile section of the survey, completed a data sharing authorization letter and submitting that to Vaughn, not to LeapFrog. When you complete the data sharing authorization letter, you're going to submit that to Vaughn, not to LeapFrog, by June 15th. If you submitted a data sharing authorization letter last year, you will not need to do it again. If you are not sure if you did it last year and you want to make sure we get your data, please contact our help desk. We have a list of every hospital who completed this with VON last year, and we can confirm for you if you are on that list or not. Next, you need to make sure you select the Vaughn National Performance Measure in question three of that section of the survey. And then finally, obviously, you need to actually submit section four. If you have any questions about where to find your VON transfer code, please go ahead and enter that into the Q&A. We can provide you with that information. Okay, now let's talk about Section 6, Patient Safety Practices, where we have a fairly significant change to the scoring algorithm for hand hygiene. Based on public comments and feedback we received from hospitals that participated in the pilot, we're going to offer an alternative path this year to achieve our hand hygiene standards that requires hospitals to monitor 100 hand hygiene opportunities rather than 200 per unit per month, but meet all other elements for the remaining domains included in the standard, including monitoring and feedback, training and education, infrastructure, and culture. The historic path remains in place, so if you'd been achieving the standard in previous years, and you have structures in place to maintain that, you're still going to be able to achieve the standard. So the historic path, again, which is in place this year, requires hospitals to say yes to all questions in the monitoring domain, including question 8, which indicates that your hospital collects hand hygiene compliance data on at least 200 hand hygiene opportunities, or at least the number of hand hygiene opportunities outlined in the tables that we provide in the FAQs that are based on unit types, so for like outpatient procedure units, the ED, low volume units, etc. You need to be collecting these compliance data on these 200 hand hygiene opportunities each month in each patient care unit. So again, this is monthly per unit. You also have to say yes to question 11, which indicates that you use hand hygiene coaches or performance observers to provide individuals who touch patients or who touch items that will be used by patients with feedback on both when they are and are not compliant with performing the proper hand hygiene. You also have to respond yes to all of the questions pertaining to the monitoring method that you're using. There's two options. You can report on the electronic compliance monitoring or direct observation. You have to say yes to all the questions in the feedback domain, And then finally, you have to say yes to all of the questions in any two of the three remaining domains. So again, two of the three remaining domains. So training in education, infrastructure, or culture. So say you don't meet, say you're doing everything, but you can't say yes to all of the questions in the infrastructure domain. You can still achieve the standard with this criteria. Say you're doing everything in the monitoring domain, the feedback domain, but you can't say yes to all the questions in training and education domain. In the historic path, you can still achieve the standard as long as you're saying yes to all of the questions in infrastructure and culture. If you have any questions about the historic path to achieve the standard, please do go ahead and enter those into the Q&A. But I want to review the new alternative path to achieve the standard, which allows hospitals to say yes to all the questions in the monitoring domain. But this time you're saying yes to question 9, which indicates that you are collecting hand hygiene compliance data on at least 100 hand hygiene opportunities per unit per month. We do have a set of tables you can reference if you have low volume units or doing a low volume of procedures or have a low volume emergency department. You have to continue to use hand hygiene coaches or compliance observers. You do need to respond yes to all the questions pertaining to the monitoring method. Again, either electronic compliance monitoring or direct observation. And in this case, because you're only monitoring 100 hand hygiene opportunities per unit per month, you have to say yes to all of the remaining domains. So yes to feedback, yes to training and education, yes to infrastructure, yes to culture. So now in this scenario, if you couldn't say yes to one of the infrastructure domains, questions, you would not be able to achieve the standard. So here the trade-off is really between the number of hand hygiene opportunities you're monitoring and then all of these other important domains of hand hygiene safety. So again, this is the alternative path. If you have any questions, do go ahead and enter those into the Q&A. In terms of public reporting, we're going to be publicly reporting all four performance categories for the hand hygiene standard. So achieve the standard, considerable achievement, some achievement, limited achievement. In addition, all four performance categories for the first time are going to be used to calculate the safety grade. So if your hospital is eligible for a safety grade, all four performance will have a point value assigned to them for the purposes of calculating the safety grade. If you have any questions about that, go ahead and enter those into the Q&A. So next in Section 7, as I've been talking a lot about, we're going back to those 12 continuous months of reporting. We have published the four join-by dates. This is when you need to join LeapFrog's NHSN group. We've published the data download dates. We really want you to download your reports the same day as us so we can identify any discrepancies. And again, you'll be able to see those data for the first time on July 12th on the details page if you meet that June 30th deadline. Otherwise, you'll be able to see them after July 25th on our public reporting website within the first 5 days of the month following your submission. Finally, in terms of specific updates related to sections of the survey, I know we've gone through a lot. There's one more in Section 10 I want to quickly review. We've removed some fact-finding questions on patient follow-up and replaced it with these CMS outcome measures. OP31, which looks at the percentage of patients who had cataract surgery and had improvement in visual function following 90 days after the surgery. And then OP32, which looks at the rate of unplanned hospital visits after an outpatient colonoscopy. You don't have to do anything for LeapFrog to obtain these data. If you submit the survey and report outpatient volume for cataract or colonoscopy, we're going to use your CCN and get these rates directly from the CMS website. Depending on when you submit your survey, we're going to get the CMS data at least 3 times a year so we can make sure we don't miss anyone. Because this information is currently scored and publicly reported by CMS, we're going to score and publicly report it as well. You can earn full credit on the cataracts measure by administering the survey and having a score published by CMS. That's because we know it's voluntary and we really want to encourage you to do it before CMS makes it mandatory. So regardless of your performance on the measure, you can earn full credit just by administering the survey and having CMS publish a score for your hospital. For the rate of unplanned hospital visits after outpatient colonoscopy, however, This measure is already mandatory for hospitals and ASCs that are doing these procedures on an outpatient basis. So scoring will be based on quartiles. The quartile cut points are going to be established looking at performance across both HOPDs and ASCs. The cut points are going to be used for both HOPDs and ASCs this year. We're going to look at the distribution of performance based on hospitals and ASCs that submitted surveys by June 30th, and then we'll update our scoring algorithms in July with those cut points, so stay tuned for that. To achieve this standard, we're going to have to get an accurate CCN so we can get that data from CMS. We'll make sure you reported volume for lower GI endoscopies in Section 10C, and that you need to be in the top quartile performance. And again, that's going to be based on hospitals and ASCs. With the remaining time today, I know this is so much information. That's why we wanted to make this Q&A available throughout the presentation. I want to talk about how survey results are used. You can tell that LeapFrog does a lot to make sure that we are putting out really a top-notch survey. And we're doing this not just so we can collect really reliable data, but also so we can use it in public reporting, and ultimately others can use that data in really important ways. Our purchaser and employer members use survey results to educate and inform their health plan enrollees. So almost all of our members have employer-sponsored health plans. They use the information to recognize and acknowledge both hospitals and ASCs that achieve our national standards and to negotiate contracts with their health plans. Consumers use our free public reporting website to compare hospitals and ASCs. I'm going to show you what that looks like in just a second. The health plans, transparency vendors, and others that use survey results to design consumer education tools, to perform market analysis, or to inform contracting decisions must license the data from LeapFrog. They pay us a fee, and that's how we can make the survey available for free for participating hospitals, and it's how we can make the survey results free as well. None of our survey results rest behind a paywall. Our public reporting website is ratings.leapfroggroup.org. Again, that's ratings.leapfroggroup.org. And users can come here and search for hospitals and surgery centers by their name, by their location, by a particular procedure type that they perform, or use a guided search function if they need even more assistance. Hospitals and ASCs that don't submit their survey by June 30th will initially be publicly reported as declined to respond starting in July, and we will update that if you submit anytime before November 30th. A little bit about the procedure search. We rolled this out last year. It is extremely popular and helpful. You can search for hospitals and surgery centers that perform the specific adult or pediatric same-day surgery that you actually need. So you get really relevant search results right away. So if you need a hernia repair for your son or daughter, you can search for only those facilities that do pediatric hernia repairs, and then narrow it down even more by looking for facilities that are near you. When you get those search results, you can actually select up to three facilities to be able to compare their LeapFrog hospital survey or LeapFrog ASC survey results side by side. So in this case, I was looking for a center, I was looking for a facility that did knee surgeries on an outpatient basis near me in Washington State. My search results yielded me a bunch of options, and I chose two surgery centers and one hospital so I could compare them. I can then see their LeapFrog hospital survey results side by side, in this case for the care of elective outpatient surgery patients. You can see those facility names across the top, and then the columns represent the individual survey results for each of those facilities. In addition, survey results are used for benchmarking reports. We know benchmarking is one of the ways that hospitals use their participation in the survey, particularly for like pediatric hospitals or critical access hospitals that aren't eligible for a safety grade but are eligible for top hospitals. Benchmarking reports are a great opportunity to see where you stand and how close you are to becoming a top hospital. Hospitals that submit a survey by June 30th will get a free summary report sent directly to your CEO in September or October, and then you can purchase more detailed reports on our website. The survey results were also used in the hospital safety grade, so measures like CPOE, BCMA, hand hygiene. These are used to calculate safety grades for general acute care hospitals. While the safety grade is this a separate program administered by LeapFrog, like I said, a handful of the measures from the survey meet the criteria to be included in the safety grade. If you want more information about the specific survey measures from this year's survey that are going to be used in the safety grade, you can download the survey overview document on our webpage. It includes every measure on the survey, and it will have a check mark next to it if it's used in the safety grade. It's also a great document if you want to know which measures are in use or aligned with other national measurement entities, if it's applicable to pediatric or critical access hospitals. So in general, the survey overview document is great, and I would highly encourage you to look at it, but it's also helpful if you're trying to identify which measures are used in the safety grade. Importantly, survey results are used to identify top hospitals. This is by far LeapFrog's most prestigious award. Top hospitals are announced annually in a national press release, and they participate in a national awards ceremony. You can see the criteria for 2021 top hospitals on our website. We also have some great videos from last year's winners. And we are really excited to announce the 2022 top hospitals later this year. It's really important to remember that there are lots of different categories where you can be awarded a top hospital designation. We have general hospitals, children's hospitals, rural hospitals, and this includes critical access hospitals, and also teaching hospitals. So lots of different categories, including opportunities for hospitals that don't have a safety grade calculated. So now let us get ready for 2022. The survey's been open since April 1st. The help desk has been busy. We are hoping today answer some questions for you and helps you feel even more prepared for the upcoming survey submission. First, make sure you have a 16-digit security code. You can download a security code request form on our website, get that into the help desk so you can have access to the online survey tool. Complete that profile section of the survey and make sure that you're ready to submit. Download survey materials. In addition to the hard copy of the survey, we have a bunch of supporting materials available for hospitals, including tools and workbooks for things like medication reconciliation and medication and allergy documentation, as well as a survey binder, which is super helpful to help you organize all of the information that you're using to respond to the survey this year. All of those materials are available on our website. They're all free. Please take advantage of them. If you have questions about how to use them, contact the help desk. And then finally, the scoring algorithm. I want all of you this year to make sure that you are reviewing the scoring algorithm before you submit your survey. Because we make a hard copy of the survey available in both a Microsoft Word document and a PDF, it's a great idea to work with your team to review the questions, reporting periods, and measure specifications, the endnotes, the FAQs, collect all of your data, fill out that hard copy of the survey, and then use the scoring algorithms document to hand score your survey responses so you know what your survey results will be prior to submitting your actual survey. As a reminder, we use these four performance categories to score and publicly report your LeapFrog hospital survey results, where four filled cell phone bars is achieved the standard, which is the best score, and one filled cell phone bar is represents limited achievement or the lowest score. If you want to know, am I going to get one, two, or three, or four bars for any of the measures on the survey, fill out the paper copy, download the scoring algorithms, get out a calculator, a paper and pencil, an Excel file, and hand score yourself. All of the information you need is available in that document. And you'll see that we have maintained many of the scoring cut points from last year and previous years. So you can do that very important benchmarking and set those performance improvement goals. We have several free resources available for hospitals. Our help desk, which I mentioned a lot today, is available from 9 to 5 on regular business days. We make a commitment to you to respond to your tickets within 1 to 2 business days, but if you know us, we usually get back to you within the same day. We have town hall calls scheduled. These town hall calls are free. They are typically offered at the beginning of the survey cycle. We'll be offering additional town hall calls this year on things like informed consent and the safe surgery checklist. We've published a number of case studies. All of these are available on our website. It provides you with concrete examples of what hospitals have done to achieve our standards. So if you want to know, how do we achieve LeapFrog's ICU physician staffing standards? What have hospitals done to achieve LeapFrog's never event standard? How have hospitals achieved the C-section standard? We have case studies on all of these topics that you can download for free on our website. And then finally, like I mentioned, that survey binder. It is such a great resource to collect and organize your information. It is available for free, and you can download it on our website. This year, we're offering a couple paid resources. It's not necessary to take advantage of these paid resources to participate in the survey. It's really to meet the demand and request of hospitals that want much more detailed, hands-on technical assistance for completing the survey. So if you have new staff, if you're new to the survey, if you are just really struggling in understanding what's required for a particular section, consider participating in the monthly webinar series. There is a fee to participate. These are held monthly from March to December. We focus on one particular section of the survey, and they are super interactive. We use a moderated conference line, so it's not a Zoom Q&A like we're doing today. It's a moderated conference line where there's a live Q&A. You ask questions. You can ask questions of other hospitals on the call, and it's really meant to be helpful for folks that want some more interactive information. Next, we're offering these virtual deep dive sessions. We used to do in-person deep dives. This year, we're doing them virtually, and all of them are being held prior to June 30th. These are specifically designed for new hospitals, new staff, who need an intensive, okay? So this is like a crash course in particular sections of LeapFrog survey prior to the June 30th submission. They are going to be 3 hours long. We just held the first one on safe practices and hand hygiene. It was nonstop questions for the entire 3 hours. It was really fantastic. And so we are limiting it to just 100 participants so we can make sure that everyone is getting the attention that they need. We have 3 available sessions coming up, one on medication safety, that will be CPOE, BCMA, and MedRec, one on inpatient and outpatient surgery, and one on specialty care. Go to our website and register. Like I said, we have 3 left. We are 1 minute over. Thank you so much for your time and patience today. I know this was a lot of information, but we really want to make sure you have everything you need to be successful in your survey submission. If you didn't get a chance to ask your question today, please contact our help desk at leapfroghelpdesk.zendesk.com. Thank you so much for your continued commitment to patient safety, quality, and transparency. We really look forward to seeing those surveys coming in. And again, if you have any questions, please do contact our help desk at this address. I'm going to give my team just one more second to answer these last questions, and we will talk again soon. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.